Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be doing a deep dive into something that's called the Model Context Protocol.
Or MCP for short.
Yeah, MCP, exactly. And this is all about connecting AI systems like chatbots or coding assistants directly to your data.
Yeah, you know how AI can be really powerful, but it's often limited because it can't access the information it needs.
Right. Like, I can't ask my AI to analyze a spreadsheet in my Google Drive without first, like, copying and pasting it in.
Yeah, it's a pain. But MCP aims to solve that. Imagine asking an AI to summarize discussions from your company's Slack or even write code that interacts with your database, all without you having to do that extra work.
Now, that would be incredible. So, to unpack this, we've got some great articles from Glomma and Anthropic.
And we'll even be peeking at some code from GitHub.
Always a good time. Yeah, so first things first, what exactly is MCP?
Well, the Glomma article uses this restaurant analogy.
I saw that, yeah.
But how would you explain it? Let me think. It's like a universal adapter for AI. Right now, if you want an AI to work with a specific app or data source, you usually need a custom integration.
And that can be a real headache for developers.
Big time. But MCP creates a standard way for AI systems to talk to different data sources, no matter the app or platform. It's like instead of needing a million different plugs, you just have one universal socket that works everywhere.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. It opens up a ton of possibilities. With MCP, developers can build AI tools that can seamlessly tap into any data source that supports it. They don't have to keep reinventing the wheel each time.
So much easier. Okay, so we've got the what, but now I'm curious about the how. How does all this data fly around without getting lost?
MCP uses a clever system of servers, clients, and transports to manage all that information.
Okay, break that down for me.
Sure. The server is like the central hub where all the data hangs out.
Gotcha.
And the client is the AI system that's trying to access that data.
Okay, and the transport.
That's the communication channel between them, like a messenger carrying requests back and forth.
Okay, so let's say I'm a developer using an AI coding assistant, and I needed to look up something in my database. How would MCP come into play?
Well, if your database has an MCP server, the AI assistant, acting as the client, could send a request through MCP saying, hey, I need this piece of info.
Mm-hmm.
And the server would grab that data and send it back to the client.
All neatly packaged and ready to go. So no more copying and pasting or manually digging through documentation.
Exactly. That's a huge time saver. And it's just one example. The Glomma article mentioned some other interesting use cases, like using AI to summarize Slack discussions or even analyze Google Sheets data.
Yeah, those are some pretty awesome examples. Speaking of examples, both the Glomma and Anthropic articles talked about some companies that are already using MCP. Anything jump out at you?
Definitely. SourceGraph using MCP with their COBE tool is particularly interesting. They're connecting it to databases, so Cody can actually understand the structure of the database and offer much more relevant code suggestions.
Oh, wow. So it's not just like randomly pulling code from somewhere. It actually knows how the database is set up.
Right. It makes it much more powerful.
That's incredible. And the Anthropic article mentioned Zed using MCP for something called schema-aware code writing.
Ah, yes. Essentially, it means that the AI can understand the specific rules and structure of your database.
So it doesn't suggest code that would just break everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like having an expert coder looking over your shoulder, making sure everything's compatible.
That is so cool. Okay, so we've seen how MCP is making waves in the developer world, but how about us everyday folks? Will we ever get to experience the magic of MCP directly?
Oh, absolutely. Think about your AI assistant on your phone, right? You can probably set reminders and play music, but what if it could access your emails, your calendar, all your different apps?
Whoa, that's next level.
Right. It could become a truly helpful companion, managing your tasks and even anticipating your needs based on all that data.
Okay, yeah, now I'm getting excited. That's the kind of AI I want in my life. So essentially, MCP could help make our AI assistants way more powerful and helpful, even if we don't realize all the behind-the-scenes magic happening.
Exactly. It's about making AI feel more seamless and integrated into our digital lives.
This is all super exciting. But before we get too carried away, are there any downsides? I know the Glomma article mentioned a few limitations.
Yeah, you're right. It's still early days for MCP. One of the biggest things is the lack of HTTP transport support right now.
So it can't talk to certain types of web services.
Right. Which can be a bit limiting. They are working on adding that, though.
Good to know. What about other downsides?
Well, the setup process can also be a little manual, at least for now.
Especially for things like Claude Desktop, right?
Yeah. But, you know, those are mainly just technical hurdles. I'm confident they'll get ironed out as MCP develops.
Makes sense. And the Glama article also mentioned an alternative called computer use.
Oh, right. Computer use takes a totally different approach. It's kind of like a whole other philosophy.
Mm. Do you think it could end up being a competitor to MCP?
It's hard to say at this point. It's too early to tell which one will win out, you know?
Yeah. Competition is good, though, right? It drives innovation.
Absolutely. The fact that we have multiple approaches emerging shows just how much interest there is in this whole area.
So even with these limitations, it seems like MCP is gaining some serious traction. I mean, we saw that list of pre-built servers on GitHub.
Yeah, that's really encouraging. Having those pre-built servers available really jumpstarts the development of MCP-enabled applications.
It's like giving developers a head start, right? They don't have to build everything from scratch.
Exactly. They just grab a server for Google Drive or Slack and get going.
That's pretty amazing. It sounds like they've got a lot of the pieces in place already. So which of those pre-built servers caught your eye?
Well, I think the ones for Google Drive, Slack, and GitHub are all huge. I mean, those are some of the most widely used platforms out there.
Yeah.
Having pre-built servers for them will really help speed up adoption.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Imagine asking your AI to, like, summarize a meeting from Zoom or even whip up a presentation based on notes you've got in Google Drive.
Right. That's the power of MCP. It's not just about making AI more powerful, but making it more accessible and useful for everyone.
This has been a fascinating discussion, and I'm honestly eager to explore more of these possibilities, especially those real-world applications we were just talking about.
Me too. Feels like we're on the verge of something big.
It does. But let's take a moment to recap what we've learned so far before we get ahead of ourselves.
Sounds like a plan. We've covered a lot of ground already.
We have. So the main takeaway is that MCP is all about connecting AI systems directly to our data, right? No more frustrating data silos.
Yes. And we saw how this connection is possible through this system of servers, clients, and transports, which allows AI to communicate with different data sources in a standardized way.
And even though MCP is still in its early stages, companies like SourceGraph and Zed are already using it to enhance developer tools.
And most importantly, we've started to imagine how MCP could impact our everyday lives. It has the potential to make AI more helpful, personalized, and truly integrated into our digital world.
This is definitely a topic we'll be revisiting, but for now, let's pause here. We'll come back and explore the broader implications of MCP in our next segment.
So, you know, so far we've mainly been talking about how MCP could impact developers.
Yeah.
But I think its potential goes way beyond that. This could really change how we interact with AI in, like, almost every aspect of our lives.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Paint me a picture. What would that look like for, you know, everyday users like me?
Well, just think about all the different ways you use AI now, even without realizing it. Your chatbot, your smart home devices, your music app recommending songs.
Right.
They all use AI in some way, but right now they're mostly isolated.
Yeah, they're all in their own little worlds.
Exactly. And sometimes it's kind of frustrating. Like, they're not really talking to each other. Like, you know, my music app doesn't know what kind of mood I'm in based on what's on my calendar.
That's a great point. Yeah, sometimes it feels like my devices are working against each other, not with each other.
Right. But with MCP, all these separate systems could start sharing information and actually work together, you know, make AI feel much more seamless and intuitive.
So it's not just about each AI getting smarter individually. It's about them all working together in a more coordinated way.
Exactly. Imagine, like, your AI assistant not only reminds you about a meeting, but it also helps you prepare for it by, like, pulling up relevant documents from your Google Drive.
Wow.
Summarizing key emails.
Okay.
Or even adjusting the lighting in your home office based on your preferences.
That's amazing. I mean, it would be like having a personal assistant who anticipates my needs and takes care of all the small stuff so I can focus on the bigger picture.
Right. And think about the possibilities beyond just personal productivity. I mean, this kind of AI integration could totally revolutionize things like education, healthcare, even entertainment.
Okay, now you've got me really curious. How could MCP play out in those areas?
Okay, so let's take education, for example. Most online learning platforms are still pretty much one size fits all, right?
Yeah.
But imagine an AI tutor that can tailor the learning experience to each student's individual needs. It could analyze their past performance, you know, track their progress, and even, like, adjust the difficulty level or suggest different resources as they go.
Wow, that would be incredible. It would make learning so much more engaging and effective. It's like having a personalized tutor available 24/7.
Exactly. And, you know, in healthcare, MCP could enable AI tools that have access to your entire medical history, not just bits and pieces from different providers.
Right, right.
This could lead to much more accurate diagnoses, personalized treatment plans, maybe even proactive health recommendations based on your lifestyle or genetic predispositions.
Wow. I mean, this is starting to sound like something out of a sci-fi movie, but in a good way.
I know, it's pretty mind-blowing. But of course, with all these potential benefits, there are also some concerns that we need to think about.
Yeah, like what kind of concerns come to mind?
Well, for one, data privacy is a big one. You know, if we're giving AI access to so much of our personal information, we need to make sure the data is protected.
Yeah, that's a huge concern. I mean, what measures are being taken to make sure our data is safe?
Well, a lot depends on how MCP is actually implemented, you know, and what kind of security protocols are put in place. The good news is that the architecture of MCP itself is designed with security in mind.
Okay, that's reassuring.
But it's also up to the developers who are building these MCP-enabled apps to prioritize user privacy and data protection.
So it's a shared responsibility between the people creating MCP and the companies using it.
Exactly. And it also requires, you know, awareness from users. Mm-hmm. We need to be informed about how our data is being used and make sure we're demanding transparency from these companies.
It's like anything else in the digital world. We have to be proactive about protecting our privacy. And I remember we talked about potential downsides in our last segment, things like, you know, job displacement.
Yeah.
How do you see that playing out as AI becomes more integrated into our lives through something like MCP?
I mean, it's definitely a valid concern, right?
Mm-hmm.
As AI systems become more capable, they could automate some tasks that are currently done by humans. But I think instead of thinking of AI as taking over jobs, we should focus on how AI can augment human capabilities.
Yeah.
And maybe even create new opportunities.
So it's more about collaboration between humans and AI rather than replacement.
Exactly. I think AI can handle those repetitive, time-consuming tasks.
Yeah.
Which frees up humans to focus on more creative, strategic work.
Stuff that AI isn't so good at yet.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that also means we need to prepare for those shifts in the job market and equip people with the skills they'll need in an AI-powered world.
Definitely. Education and retraining will be super important to ensure that everyone benefits from these advancements.
It's really fascinating to think about how, you know, MCP could reshape not just our work lives, but also our free time. You mentioned entertainment earlier.
Yeah.
What kinds of experiences do you see emerging with something like MCP?
Imagine a world where your entertainment is totally personalized.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Where AI understands your tastes and preferences so well that it curates unique experiences just for you.
So like a streaming service that goes way beyond suggesting movies based on what I've watched before.
Yes. I mean, imagine creating like a unique soundtrack for your day based on your mood and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Or like an AI storyteller that creates interactive narratives based on your favorite genres.
Okay, that's pretty wild.
Right.
It would be like having a personal DJ and a creative writing partner all in one.
Exactly. And with MCP, all of this becomes more possible because AI has access to way more data about you and your preferences.
It's both exciting and a little daunting to think about how much AI could become part of our lives in the future.
It is. It's powerful stuff. But remember, we have a say in how this unfolds.
That's a good point. It's not like some predetermined fate.
Exactly. The future of AI is up to us.
Well, that's a powerful reminder. But before we get too philosophical, let's take a quick break to gather our thoughts. We'll be back with some final reflections on MCP in our last segment. Okay, we're back, ready to wrap up our deep dive into this model context protocol.
MCP.
MCP, yes. We've covered a lot of ground, from like the technical details to, you know, imagining this future where AI is just part of everything we do.
It's wild, right?
It is. So for you, what's been like the biggest takeaway from all this?
I think what really stands out to me is how MCP is like bridging this gap between, you know, the theoretical power of AI and actually using it in our everyday lives. For so long, AI has felt like this, you know, abstract thing happening in labs, not something we actually experience.
Yeah, it's like two different worlds. You know, we hear about how amazing AI is, but then, you know, we're still struggling to get our AI assistant to understand what we're asking it to do.
Exactly. Well, but MCP is starting to change that, you know.
Okay.
By giving AI access to the data, it needs to be actually helpful.
So it's like finally giving AI the tools to like understand our world
yeah.
and, you know, actually do something useful.
Yeah, and interact with it in a more meaningful way.
So we've talked about, you know, personalized education, better healthcare.
Yeah, and super personalized entertainment.
I mean, it sounds incredible.
Right.
But I also, you know, I keep thinking about those potential downsides.
I know, yeah, those concerns about data privacy, job displacement, they're very real.
So you mentioned, I think it was in the last segment, that it's sort of a shared responsibility between, you know, the people who are creating MCP, the companies using it, even us as users.
Right.
I mean, what can we actually do to make sure that AI is developed and used responsibly?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, we need to demand transparency from these companies that are building AI.
Right.
We need to know what data they're collecting, how they're using it, how they're keeping it safe.
It's almost like we need a digital bill of rights, right?
Totally. I mean, we have a right to know how our data is being used and a right to have a say in how all this is shaping our world.
Yeah. And I think beyond, you know, individual action, we also need like strong regulations and ethical guidelines to make sure that AI is, you know, used to benefit everyone.
Absolutely. It's not just about the technology.
Right.
It's about the ethics.
Yeah. Yeah.
The social impact. And, you know, we need to make sure that those things are all aligned.
So it's an ongoing conversation, right? It's not like we're going to figure this out overnight.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
And it needs to be a conversation that involves, you know, everyone.
Well, you've definitely given us a lot to think about. I mean, it's clear that MCP could be huge.
Huge, yeah.
But it also comes with, you know, a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. It's a powerful tool. And like any tool, it could be used for good or bad.
And ultimately, you know, it's up to us to decide how this all plays out.
Right.
That's a great place to end, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a pleasure exploring all this with you.
Same here.
So to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Model Context Protocol. Hope you found it, you know, interesting, thought-provoking.
Definitely.
And until next time, you know, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing those boundaries of what's possible.